there's a question out there still as to whether the events of the last year, last calendar year, whether it's damaged trust. And what I can safely say is even if it didn't damage trust, it's clear that sequestrations and employee furloughs eroded morale. And we know that morale affects agency performance.
Tell me a little bit about what you're seeing from the perspective of the board.
From the board, we're not seeing that so much. I mean, we see the aftermath, which is, of course, in our furlough cases. And one of the issues that keep coming up are how the agency spends its money. Could different spending decisions have been made and furloughs avoided? Those are the types of issues that are coming up in our furlough appeals.
So there's, and perhaps transparency or the perception that there isn't enough transparency plays a role in that.
And that's a great point. To the extent that agencies are capable of explaining their decision-making process in plain English repeatedly, that would be helpful. And certainly employees need to understand that the decisions to furlough them did not come from their first-line supervisors.
What have all of these furlough cases that have come before you since last year, what have they taught you?
They've taught us two things, that employees feel overwhelmed and that they're shouldering the burdens of the agency spending decisions. They've been asked to go without pay increases, capped bonuses, to contribute more to their retirement funds, and we heard that in the hearing that occurred earlier this month. At the same time, agencies also bear the burden. I mean, you're talking about management. They have to process the cases. They have to defend the cases and take the cases to hearing. So, yes, money might have been saved as a result of the furloughs, but in terms of people and workload, there are no winners here.
So the Merit Systems Protection Board also deals with several other, well, lots of other things that get back to fractures in the workplace. Some of the newer things that you are seeing stem from enhancements to the Whistleblower Protection Act that came a couple years ago, also revisions of the Hatch Act. Are you seeing a different type of federal workplace since those bills became law?
Let's talk about whistleblowing first. Certainly after the WPEA passed in 12, we are seeing more cases. In fact, our caseload has doubled in that area from the previous year.
And just remind people what that did, what that law did.
Well, it did a number of things. But one of the things it potentially did was expand the protections available to whistleblowers to expand what is a protected disclosure. The reason why I suspect we're seeing more claims may have less to do with changes in the law and more to do with a greater awareness of a federal employee's rights to file in this area.
And the law, you think the law is responsible for that, or have there been other changes that make people more aware of their rights?
I people have been out there. The whistleblowing community has been very, very vocal in moving this legislation forward. And I think they've gone out of their way to educate the federal workforce on these issues. At the same time, agencies are a lot sharper in terms of getting the word out, training people what is protected, what's not protected, and this is your avenue, your venue to redress your claims.
And what about the Hatch Act? What were the major revisions, and are you seeing the ramifications, good or bad, at the Merit Systems Protection Board?
The interesting thing about the Hatch Act is we really only get less than a handful of cases in every given year. Not really sure why. Maybe they settle out before they get to us. And I'm talking about two or three. And that's held consistent since the passage of the law. Now, the changes of the law for us gave us a greater flexibility in determining a penalty. Prior to this time, an employee could be the presumptive penalty was removal. And in order for it to be less than a removal, the entire board unanimously had to agree that the penalty should be mitigated, and so more flexibility was built in there.
We're speaking to Susan Sway Grundman, and she is chairman of the Merit Systems Protection Board. Now, explain a little bit about the window that the board has into what's going on in the offices and the cubicles in the federal landscape, because you see it on one hand when things go wrong and you get a case, but you also see it through your surveys and original reports and the research that you do. How broad of a lens do you think that you have?
Well, our results come through the EVS, And we also conduct the Employee Viewpoint Survey. And it's conducted every year about this time, surveying the federal workforce. We also conduct our own merit principle study occasionally, sending them to certain groups of people. And what we're seeing is, and what we've advised in our studies, the constant theme really is transparency and transparency of the decision-making process. When you thoroughly explain how decisions are made, such as sequestration, such as furloughs, such as hiring decisions, and you explain those decisions, there is less of an appearance of favoritism and propriety, because perceptions can become reality, and perceptions can affect morale, and morale can affect agency performance. You're going to see this theme again echoed when our veterans report comes out later on this year. There, the law is extremely complex, and unless an agency explains to employees and applicants why certain hiring decisions are made, folks could perceive a violation of law.
Do you have a sense of what the cases and the challenges are in the cases that come towards you regarding veterans? I mean, first of all, do you see a lot of those?
We're seeing fewer. This is one of the areas where our caseload is dropping. We're seeing more whistleblowing cases, more adverse actions, but fewer USERRA and VIOA claims. That may be because agencies are understanding the law better.
I also want to ask you about recent development in the Supreme Court refusing to hear a case that had to do with two Defense Department civilian employees and whether or not their jobs were classified as sensitive.
Non-critical sensitive.
Non-critical sensitive.
Those are the Conyers Northover cases.
Explain those cases in terms of the Merit Systems Protection Board and what it permits or no longer permits you to do.
It was a Federal Circuit case, which the Supreme Court denied cert on. And what it basically says is that the board does not have the ability to review cases where employees are denied eligibility because they're deemed not eligible to hold a non-critical sensitive position. So it's taken those cases out of our jurisdiction.
And how many of those cases did you see? Were they quite rare, or is this something that was a chunk of your workload that no longer is?
At the time, in headquarters, we probably had about 20 cases. It's not significant, but it's a constant theme. We do have a number of residual cases left over at headquarters, which we'll be deciding in the next several weeks.
And given that it's been steady, not big, but steady, what do you think the ramifications of this decision are on those employees who might find themselves in that position of not having a national security position per se, but a position that their boss deems to be sensitive?
They no longer have MSPB review. And in order for them to have any third-party review, the law would have to change.
What do you think are the most important things for agencies to do right now to restore trust?
Being transparent in your decision-making process. Also keep in mind that it's important to communicate frequently and communicate even bad news, because you can communicate bad news and still retain trust. There's certainly more demands on managers to be transparent. There's also the need to include, and that's part of our reports through the years. We talk about faltering morale, but in some places, trust has never faltered. And those are the places where you're routinely going to find good morale, which is really built through working together, valuing contributions from employees, showing employees where their contributions contribute to the overall mission, and then rewarding them in terms that not necessarily mean financial, but certainly that have value to them. Now, we know that Director Archuleta is
of the Office of Personnel Management.
Right, that she is trying to improve morale through maintaining current federal employee staffing levels and actually increasing them in certain critical areas. And we've reached out to her to offer, you know, our help from our experience through our studies on engagement and performance motivation. Certainly, we'll know how this is all playing out when the current round of the Employment Viewpoint Survey comes out later on. Last year, when they conducted the survey, we talked about furloughs and shutdowns. I don't think anything had occurred at the time. But now, in light of that, How will employees respond this go round? We'll find out.